भागवतम 1:8:26 जन्मैश्वरेषु तश्रीभिर्यधमान् मदः पुमान् नैवार्हत्यभिधातुं वै त्वमकिञ्चन गोचरम्. सो हियर इट इज बीइंग कुंती महारानी इज कंटिन्यूइंग हर एक्स्ट्रॉर्डिनरी प्रेयर. Where in the previous verse she said, let the obstacles come more and more, again and again, because in dealing with the obstacles, we take shelter of you, and in taking shelter of you, we become free from material existence. So now she is taking the converse of that, and she is saying, as compared to adversity, when there is comfort, when there is prosperity, at that time, the impetus for taking shelter of Krishna is taken away. And that she specifies in this verse when she says, now, Janmaishwaryeshu tashribhir edhaman madah puman Janmaishwaryeshu tashribhir. That these are four sources of power in this world. One is born in a high family, Janmaishwarya. One has wealth, Shruta. Shruta is one who is learned, Shribhir, one who is good looking. So now, if we see, it's interesting, this list of four begins with Janma. So, in the past, a person's first identity came from his or her birth. So, if somebody was born in a higher Varna or a higher caste, it's not just in India where we had Varnashram, but even in the West, if we consider Europe, there was aristocracy. If we consider England, in the medieval time, there were the lords. And those lords, they would often focus on certain things. That means that if somebody was born in the family of and the aristocracy, then they would have a life of privilege. If somebody was born in the gentry, as they would call it, the common people, then they would not have any kind of privilege like that. So therefore, the important thing is to recognize that Janma was a very important thing. Today we may not have so much that sort of birth distinction might not be there. Today people may be proud in terms of say that we live in a world where it's mostly meritocracy, that people are given facilities according to their merit. But it's not always true. That it's not always that everything happens only by meritocracy, even in today's world. Now moving forwards, here so Prabhupada is quite dynamic and resourceful dynamic and pragmatic in his characterization of Janma. So in today's world, say birth in America is considered a privileged thing. Many people may dream and long to be born in America. Something similar now here. It's mentioned here that Prabhupada says that Americans, while talking to his American audiences in the 1960s, he said that you are all fortunate, you are born in a wealthy and prosperous country, and now don't waste your life. He says, you have got the good Janma, use it properly and serve Krishna with it. So interesting that Prabhupada classifies American Janma as fortunate. So the point is that actually, it's not necessary that Janma has to be classified only in terms of traditional birth lines of what Janma was considered high. Janma is basically a social marker of privilege and birth. And today, in today's world, today's change your political reality, socio-cultural scenario, it is birth in America that is fortunate. So now Prabhupada says, Prabhupada acknowledges that. So this, what is a high birth, what is fortune by birth, that may vary according to place. But Janma Ishwara Shuta Shribhir, to be born in a wealthy family, to be born with a good memory or a sharp intelligence, or to be born with great looks, all this is a matter of fortune. And those who have that, they can actually do a lot. So now they often get life easy. Janma Ishwara Shuta Shribhir Edhaman Madaha Puman. But Kunti warns over here that actually these can also lead to mada. Mada is intoxication. Idaman madaha puman naivarhatya abhidhatum vai. Naivarhatya abhidhatum vai. That although these can lead to good, but actually they can also lead to harm. Abhidhatum. Naivaratya vidatum vai tvam akinchana gocharam. Tvam akinchana gocharam. You, O Lord, when one feels satisfied and complacent with what one has, then one doesn't feel the need for Krishna. And if one doesn't feel the need for Krishna, then one doesn't go towards Krishna. And when one doesn't go towards Krishna, one doesn't attain Krishna. So, actually, to attain Krishna, one needs to actually call out wholeheartedly, and if one's heart is filled with the conception of how happy I am, how comfortable I am, how great I am, then one doesn't feel any great need for the greatest being, and then one cannot attain Krishna. Therefore, naivarhatya vidatum vai tvam akinchana gocharam. O Lord, you are akinchana. For those who do not have anything, they can call you wholeheartedly. But now, we don't have to give up these things if we have them. But we can recognize that we can use our philosophically guided intelligence, scripturally guided intelligence, to understand how these things cannot provide us lasting shelter, and thus we can move beyond our infatuation with these things towards Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. But these can so prosperity can be a obstacle on the spiritual path. That's the point that is being made by this verse. The adversity can be an opportunity, and prosperity can be a step stumbling block. And now Kalitimani continues in 27th text. He says, Namo akinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. Namo akinchana vittaya, namo akinchana vittaya. O Lord, you are akinchana vitta. You are the wealth of the impoverished. Nivritta guna vrittaye. You are the wealth of those who are nothing, and nivritta guna vrittaye. Guna is the mode, nivritta is retired from, detached from. Vrittaye, guna vrittaye means the modes direct our mind and intelligence in certain directions. But those who have become retired from these, that means those who no longer give in to the cravings of the senses, those who no longer give in to the impushings of the modes, recognizing that I am spiritual and I am different from this body and the modes, that ya sammohita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paro api minute anartam tatkutam cha vipadyate. That atmanam trigunatmakam paro, that we are para, we are beyond these modes. When we understand our spiritual identity, then we become detached from these modes. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yadadrashtam upashyati gunebhyascha param vyakti madbhavam sodhi gachyati. That there is nothing apart from the modes acting, and we as souls are different from the modes. When we understand this, then such people are also fortunate. Yurutta guna vittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. So just as the great souls are detached from the modes, similarly Krishna, who is the greatest soul, is also detached from the modes. He is transcendental. Atma Ramaya Shantaya. You, Lord, are self-satisfied. You are peaceful. So, Atma Rama and Shanta is a further elaboration of Nirutta Guna Vrittaye. Kaivalya Pataye Namaha. That you are the Lord of those who are aspiring Kaivalya, and you are the Lord of liberation also. It is you who grant liberation. Kaivalya, Nirvana is the conception of liberation in conception of ultimate destination in Buddhism, and Kaivalya was considered often the ultimate aspiration in Jainism. But Kaivalya Pataye Namaha, that whatever is offered is available in Kaivalya, all that and more is available through you, O Lord, because you are the master of Kaivalya. So here in this verse, Kunti Maharani first says that Krishna, you are so powerful that you can appear in various ways to different people, and you can attract different people to come to you. At the same time, you can be wholeheartedly approached by those who have detached themselves from this material world and things associated with this material world. And that, O Lord, is what you are doing here. That, O Lord, is what you are kindly enabling us to do by allowing us to take shelter of you and to attain you thus. So she continues this theme, that how is it that people look for material prosperity, but why, how is it that Krishna can be approached by those who do not have material prosperity? Because he is beyond the realm of matter. That is the point made over here. Then 28th text. Manye tvam kalam ishanam anadividhanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yan mithah kalihi. Manye tvam, I consider you kalam ishanam. My dear Lord, I consider you to be time. You are yourself time. Anadividhanam vibhum, no beginning and no end. Samam charantam sarvatra, you are equal towards all. Bhutanam yan mithah kali, that whatever conflict is there among people in this world, yan mithah, that conflict comes because of kalihi, because of their own mutual differences. So here Kunti Maharani makes the point, and very strongly she makes the point, that Krishna, you remain transcendental. So in the previous verse she said that how Krishna is approached, he is beyond the modes. Then somebody may get the question, but then Krishna has sided with the Pandavas and is fought on the side of the Pandavas, so how is it? So samam charantam sarvatra, Krishna is equal to them all. And in the Mahabharata, one theme that comes frequently is the theme that Kala is the cause of the great Kalaha. The Kala is that this whole catastrophic war that took place between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, that catastrophic war took place because of the influence of time. And that war was simply a result of something which could not have something, of course, individuals could have done something to minimize the effect of that war, but overall the war took place. And Krishna is samam charantam. He said that time is Krishna. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita that kalosmi lokakshaya putra viddho, that he is himself time. So the point is that Krishna is time, and manye tam kalam ishanam. Kunti recognizes that Krishna is time, and she takes this point forward by stating that Krishna, I consider you to be equal to all. You are beginningless, you are endless, and different. Sometimes people come together, sometimes people get separated. So sometimes people fight, sometimes people unite. All such things happen. This is because of their own mutual interactions. Time is itself not the cause. Time is, in one sense, the facilitator. Okay, this is what you want to do. Okay, this is what you can do. That is what you want to do. That's what you can do. So time facilitates people in doing what they want to do. And in that way, Kunti Maharani goes on over here and states that, actually, my lord, you are the supreme. Bhutanam yad mithah kali. It is people who fight among themselves. Now, in the next text, you will go on, 29th text. 29th text is, Naveda kaschid bhagvam chikirshitam tavehamanasya nrunam vidambanam mayasya kaschid daitosti karhichid vishascha yasmin vishamam atirnunam. Naveda kaschid bhagvam chikirshitam. That he is saying, my dear lord, we cannot know. Naveda kaschid. When you come to this world, when you act in this world, it is very difficult, it is almost impossible to know you. Bhagvam chikirshitam. Your activities, your pastimes, that is difficult to know. Tavehamanasya nrunam vidambanam. Tava ihamanasya. For you, O Lord, it is when you appear in this world, when you act, nrunam vidambanam. It is very complex. It is very difficult to understand. Taveha manasya nrunam vidambanam. Nayasya kaschid daitosti karhichit. Nayasya kaschid. That for you there is no one dear. Daitosti. There is no one dear to you. Veshyasya yasmin vishamam atirnunam. Nor is there anyone of whom you are envious, O Lord. Actually, you are equal to all. You are impartial. That point is stressed over here in this verse by Kunti Maharani. And the point of this verse is to stress how there is nothing that can get the soul in trouble in this world if the soul takes shelter of Krishna. And that Krishna manifests in this world to equally bestow his mercy. So in the previous verse is samam charantam sarvatra, that you are equal to all. That same theme is reiterated over here. And naisya kaschid daitosti kaschid dveshyasya yasmin vishamam atirnunam, that there is no one to whom you are dear, nor to anyone to whom you are envious. So in this way we actually benefit everyone. You benefit everyone. Tavehamanasya nrunam vidambanam. So if we move onwards and contemplate the connection over here, Kunti Maharani is now moving onwards towards the personal pastimes of Krishna. And while moving onward towards the personal pastimes, the point that she stresses is, Krishna, you are so wonderful. Krishna, you are so glorious. That if some people say that in the Mahabharata you acted in some kind of partiality, that's not true. You did not act with partiality. You acted with equanimity towards all, and for that we are grateful to you. Now text 30. Janma karma chi vishvatman ajasya kartur atmanam tiryannar shishu yadasu tadatyanta vidambanam. So now, janma karma cha vishvatman, vishva atman, you are the soul of the universe. Atha vishvesh vishvatman, this verse will come, this theme of vishvatman, the same word will come again later in Kunti's parents' prayers in 1841. But here for the time being, janma karma cha vishvatman, ajasya kartur atmanaham, ajasya akartur atmanaham. You are unborn, you are the non-doer. Atmanaha. Tiryanna rishishu yadasu. Although you yourself in your essence, O Lord, are the non-doer and a non, you could say, non, you don't take birth, non-borner, there is no word like that. But still you appear, tiryanna rishishu yadasu. Not only do you appear in this world, but you appear in various species. So there is a enduring tension that interplays between God's transcendence and God's immanence. Tiryan nar rishishu yadasu. You appear as a animal, as a human being, as a sage, as in the water, yadasu, that refers to Matsya avatar, we could say. And as an animal, it can refer to Varaha Dev. As a human being, of course, Krishna himself has appeared, Ram has appeared, Rishishu can refer to Narnarayan Rishi. Atyanta vidambanam. So there's as I said, there's an enduring tension between God's transcendence and God's immanence. So as the transcendent being, God is the absolute truth, is considered to be so complete in himself that he doesn't need anything, that he doesn't desire anything, that he doesn't. He is fully complete in himself, and that is an understood conception. But in his completeness, he wants to share his completeness, and for sharing is not out of a need for moving from an incomplete state to a complete state, but for moving from for share relishing and sharing his savoring and sharing his completeness. He acts and he interrelates. He appears in this world. He performs pastimes. The souls in this world who are disconnected from Krishna are incomplete. And when their souls become connected with Krishna, they become complete. So here, Tadatyanta vidambanam. Kuti Narayana says that if you look at it from a external or material vision, how can that one supreme being who is transcendental appear, who is supposed to be the non-doer, suppose one who is supposed to never take birth, how can that person appear in this world? Tadatyanta vidambanam. This is bewildering, and this is this verses 29, 30, 31. They repeat the theme which was earlier mentioned. Na lakshase mura drusha, that the foolish observer cannot understand you. So what exactly can he not understand? It is not just about Krishna's position as God, but also when Krishna manifests in this world, how can that absolute truth manifest in this world? That is also something which is not easy to understand. And then text 31. Gopyadade tvai kritagasi dhamatavad yate dashashru kalilanjana sambhramaksham vaktram niniya bhaya bhava nayasthitasya samam vimohyati bhirapiyad vibheti. So here it is stated, Gopyadade tvai kritagasi dhamatavad Gopyadade. So now Kunti Maharani is referring with the pastime in Vrindavan. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, this is the first direct reference to a Vraja Leela. There of course have been covered or indirect references, but a full verse devoted to the Vraja Leela comes over here. And this is one of Krishna's most celebrated pastimes, the Damodar Leela. So Gopya Adade. So that Gopi, she took up, she is referring to Yashoda Mai, Tai Krita Gasi Dama Tavad. And to you, Kuta Agasi, that when you create a disturbance, Agasi, Kuta, you did disturbance, Damatava, she took up a stick to chastise you, and then she took a rope to tie you, Damatava. Yate Dashashru Kalilanjana Sambhramaksham, Yate Dashashru. So in that situation, when she had taken up a rope to tie you after she had caught you, so at that time, Ashru Kalilanjana Sambhramaksham. So, Aksha, your eyes, Sambhrama, they were agitated, they were moving here and there restlessly, you were fearful. And Ashru Kalilanjana Aksha, Ashru Kalila means, they're overflooded with tears. Anjana, your mascara, the anjan which you had worn on your eyes, the decorative ornament that had actually slid over the face, and it had caused disruption. So vaktram niniya bhaya bhavanaya sthitasya, vaktram niniya, you are looking down, and bhaya bhavanaya sthitasya. Bhaya bhavanaya means you are fearful at that time. Bhaya bhavanaya sthitasya, when you are situated like this fearfully, samam vimohayati bhirapi yad bibheti. Samam vimohayati. At that time, seeing this, सामाम विमोहयति भीर अपियत विभेति. You fail, look fearful, and actually fear personified is fearful of you. So how, O Lord, could you be fearful? That is astonishing. You who are never afraid of anything, you are fearful. And such is your wonderful pastimes. So in the previous verse, you used the word that people cannot anvay the kaschet or vidambanam, that is bewildering. So what exactly is bewildering? She has given illustration of how the Lord's pastimes are bewildering. She says that actually, you, O Lord, are the supreme being, and people come to you to become free from fear. Bhajahu re mana shrindanandana abhaya charana ravindare. That when they take shelter of you, they become free from fear. But you, O Lord, are such that you, although you can free people from fear, but here we see that it is you who, it is you who are fearful. So how can this be happen? This is astonishing, O Lord. Please, this is incredible. How can such a thing happen? So Kunti Maharani here is highlighting for us the extraordinariness of what has transpired in this past time. And in the previous verse, she said, Janma karma cha vishvatman. That your janma and your karma are very difficult to understand. So in this verse, she first mentions about karma, 31 verse. And this is the only one text which will talk about his karma. And then after that, from 32 to 35, she talks about his janma, how he appears in this world and the mysteries around his appearance. Vidambanam, why it is bewildering, that how different people try to get through this bewilderment. You know, whenever we face something which we can't understand, at that time we try to figure out things. We try to find a way ahead in our life, and that way ahead is what is being talked about over here. So she is giving one example of how we cannot understand what Krishna is doing. In the Damodar Leela, Krishna acts the way he acts out of his great love for Yashoda Mai and his desire to intensify her love for him, and accordingly he desires that there be a fabulous level of affectionate reciprocation between him and her. And thus, he acts in ways that intensifies his affection for her and her affection for him. And as when he commits mischief, and bhir apiyad bheti, when he is fearful, he is not just doing a nakra, he is not just doing a natak. Just like a very good actor enters into the role and experiences emotions of the character that is being depicted. So similarly, Krishna is a consummate actor, and when he acts fearful, it is not just that he is acting fearful, he is actually deeply fearful. He is deeply, he is experiencing that emotion of fear. Oh, for an infant, a mother, for even a small boy, mother is like the greatest shelter, the person through whom one gets everything, protection, love, guidance, affection. And when the mother is angry and the mother is about to punish, child becomes fearful. So here the point is being made that Krishna is our Lord, and as our Lord, He is our, He is beyond our intelligence to comprehend, and still we can use our intelligence to try to understand Him in a mood of serving Him. So from the 26th verse onward, the flow here went on that first Kuntibhayan said that if we are materially filled with ourselves, then we cannot fill our heart with Krishna. So material opulences can actually be obstacles. Then 27th text said that Krishna is beyond material, everything material, and thus he is the master of those who are beyond material things, and thus to approach him one has to go beyond material things. So it is not that we reject material things in the sense of we are craving for them but we don't have them, rather we rise above them. And 28 was talked about, then why is Krishna here in this world taking sides on material conflicts? No, he is equal to all. Whatever conflicts happen, that happen because of their own mutual interactions and the mutual animosities or whatever. And then 29th verse states that actually when Krishna seems to act in particular ways, when he descends in this world, his descent is itself a great mystery. But one thing is for sure, that he is not partial to anyone. He is equal to all. Then 30th verse said that actually if you want to take the element of mystery ahead, then we should see that it's not just his activity that's in his descent as Krishna are mysterious, even his very descent in numerous, in various forms, just those of animals or those of aquatics, all that is itself mysterious. And he says that how, and in this particular pastime itself, in this particular manifestation, descent as Krishna, what is mysterious is that Krishna has actually fear runs away from him, but now he is filled with fear, and thus the mystery is actually very deep, and it can be understood only through love. And it is because of love that Krishna subordinates his supremacy to his intimacy, and thus he can have intense loving reciprocations with Yashoda Mai and with other devotees. Thank you.